Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. O Lord God, I pray that you will help me this hour, that I would not come to your word in a routine manner. We have realized the seriousness of your word and the many souls who sit here in the balance. We pray for them, Lord. We know that the soul of men are in a state of lostness and deadness except you raise them. And many sit and depend on your word. And yet, Lord, we can be so manipulative in our speaking, in our preaching, that we can direct men to ourselves. But we pray this one will not direct anyone to himself, but that we will direct each man to Christ Jesus, the priest, the one who hears, the one who answers, and the one who can help us. God, Father, glorify your Son this hour in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I want to speak this morning on signs of spiritual immaturity. Signs of spiritual immaturity. The text that I have just read. What we have read is an abbreviation or an appendix that we left off in our last message, where the writer introduces a new subject in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. And he carries the subject throughout the next chapter as he relates the signs of spiritual immaturity in those whom he are addressing. At times it is necessary for teachers to retreat from the subject for students who are slow learners. And here the writer interrupts his teaching on the nature of Christ's priesthood with a rebuke to slow learners. Observe that the writer makes a general statement to his hearers. More than likely, there were some he knew that this insertion is made in the midst of a topic on the superiority of Christ's priesthood. But a general statement is made in verse 11, where the writer says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be explained, seeing that you are slow learners. I've read it in the original text. Obviously, all of those who heard and read this letter were not this way. But this is the nature of the gospel, where preachers or writers make a general statement and the Holy Spirit will minister to those who he has in view. I am sure that today we can also tell when people are not absorbing what is being taught, whether at an academic level or a spiritual level. And at times it is profitable to deviate from doctrine to exhortation to hearers of the gospel who may be showing signs of spiritual immaturity. This is what this appendix is all about in these few verses. Now, spiritual immaturity is not necessarily relative to age. A person can be a new Christian and demonstrate spiritual growth just as one who had been saved for many years. Second, a person can be old in age and yet act immaturely in relationship to the gospel. Second, spiritual immaturity is not relative to acquaintance either. As you can see, the writer uses the time factor in verse 12, showing that some had been acquainted with doctrine for a while and still were spiritually immature. For instance, we read in verse 12, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God. The oracles of God is the word of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. All men by nature are slow to learn spiritual truth. And the writer generalizes to those whom he addresses by using the plural word you, all of you. So gospel immaturity, dear people, is not relative to age. Neither is it relative to acquaintance. But spiritual immaturity is relative to one's application of what is taught from the word of God. What are we doing in the light of what is taught from the scriptures? The more we apply of God's word to our lives, the more we will grow spiritually, and the more we will see growth and victory in our lives. The less we apply, the more immature we will remain. The writer had just emphasized the superiority of Christ and made mention of one who appeared as Christ by the name Melchizedek. And then he abruptly serves up some sharp rebukes about immaturity and give three signs or three symptoms relating to the subject. I am sure that what he has to say is of great relevance today. Therefore, we will open up this topic under three strands that are seen in the context. The first detection of the writer in showing signs of spiritual maturity is 1, dullness of hearing, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. The writer breaks the trend of his teaching, saying to his hearers that there is much more to say of Christ. There is much more teaching of the gospel to be absorbed that is hard to explain because many were dull of hearing. The word is used twice in the New Testament. Here and in Hebrews 6:12, it is translated slothful, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. This is the same word in view, to be slow in receiving God's truth. Apparently, some of these individuals heard the word, but continued to drift until they could no longer listen and endure the word of God. They were not as those we read of in the book of 1 Thessalonians, who received the word not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. To be dull of hearing implies that one has no eagerness of hearing the word of God. James 1 says the opposite and commands that one should be swift to hear. James 1, 18 and 19 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. Neither shadow of turning of his own will begat he us or born us again. by the word of truth. We were born again by the word. We grow by the word, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man, let everyone be swift to hear, be slow to speak, be slow to wrath. A characteristic of a newborn child spiritually is that that one is swift to hear the word, of ready to hear the word of God. Dullness of hearing is to be expected from the natural man. Jesus said to his disciples, "It is given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them that are without, I speak in parables, that seeing their see not, and hearing their hear not, lest they understand with their heart, and I should heal them." There's a reason why Jesus speaks in parables. He speaks in parables to hide his truth. But he speaks in parables that his elect will understand, for he has given them the ears to hear and the heart to open. That's what he said in the text. We can also call to mind when our Lord was speaking in the synagogue at Capernaum, one of the places he labored the most. He was speaking on the fact that he was the bread of life. Many of his hearers could not comprehend and said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" We read in John 6:58, "This is that bread which came down from heaven." Jesus is not only the water, he is the bread that came down from heaven. "What, as your fathers did eat manna and are dead? He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. But listen, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you should be better translated. They are spiritual and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who there were that believed not and who should betray him. Within this context, Jesus looked at his disciples and asked, "Would you go away?" And Peter said the words, and the powerful words, "To whom must we go?" John chapter 6, verses 65 through 69. "He said unto you that no man can come to me except it were given him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back, walk no more with him. This is when he spoke these words to Peter and asked him with the rest, "Would you go away?" The Savior was speaking in earthly terms, reminding his hearers of the bread that came down in the wilderness, and makes a parallel application of he being the true bread. His words were real, but they were spiritual. The natural mind cannot understand these things because they are dull of hearing. It is very hard, as a matter of fact, it is impossible for the natural man to grasp a spiritual message. And here the writer of Hebrews is making this observation, saying, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing." A general statement. The antecedent whom refers to Christ. He is referring to Christ and the gospel, of whom we have many things to say. It's reference to Christ and his eternal priesthood. So we see this sign, this first sign of spiritual immaturity, dullness of hearing. But we see another sign brought to our attention, showing the nature of spiritual immaturity in the lives of those whom the apostle is addressing. And the second head I look at is that they were limited in spiritual diet. Verse 12, limited in spiritual diet. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the word of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. The writer expected some, not all, to have ability to share spiritual truth. But instead, they needed to be taught again. Not all have the ability and the gift of teaching. This would be a contradiction to Scripture. Believers grow at different levels, I give you that. But all believers have a measure of ability to share God's word. At times, there may be young people in our church. There may be singles. There may be couples who need to be counseled. Who can we send them to? Having hearing the word of, who can we recommend such people to in the congregation? Should the pastor worry that a couple may mislead another couple? Or mislead a young person by how they're behaving? Yes, that's one of my fears in this church. I have to admit it. But these ones here, the apostle is chiding with, saying it is high time that you're able to share with others the word of God. As I said, not all have that ability. But no one can argue with what God has done in a personal life. No one can argue with a testimonial that God has done a work in my life. You can share that. There has to be some part of the scripture where a believer finds a source of comfort and delight that and delight himself with that passage of scripture that they can share it with others. In chapter 6, when you go over in chapter 6, the apostle elaborates on some of those first principles of the word of God. And we can look across the page and see them. And I'll read them to you. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. According to this text, the first principles of the gospel in view are the doctrine of Christ. The second, the nature of repentance, the necessity of saving faith, the doctrine of believers' baptism, the doctrine of the resurrection, the doctrine of the eternal judgment of God are all fundamental principles we should know lest we have joined the ranks of the spiritual immature. You know, milk is okay, but milk is only the fundamental teachings of the Bible, such as these doctrines that I've just shared with you. They are but fundamental, the new birth and the necessity of the new birth. There are milk products. Limited diet may be a sign of spiritual immaturity. When a person is recovering from surgery, they are restricted to a liquid diet. But if they stay on limited diet for too long, one has to be worried. We shouldn't have to be laboring with the same fundamentals to mature believers. The Apostle Paul tells us that a sustained diet of milk is for babes. The word for babes is not a good word, and it is not used to describe believers. Look it up yourself. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes, nepios, in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. Here Paul addresses the problem. These verses do not describe two kinds of believers. They describe two kinds of people. It is either that one is spiritual or one is carnal. The apostle is saying that he could not speak to some as though they were believers, but he had to speak to them as though they were ordinary men. Liquid diet is for carnal men. Meat is for spiritual people. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:20 tells us, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men, be of full age. What he was saying to the church at Corinth was that they should move away from the milk diet and grow in the understanding of Scripture. So I've shared with you two parts to the message in regards to spiritual immaturity, dullness of hearing, no eagerness to hear, can't grasp the truths from the Word of God, limited in diet, liquid diet, fundamentals of the Scriptures. But thirdly, lack of spiritual discernment, third point, verses 13 and 14, and this is basically the message. Lack of spiritual discernment. Listen to the word of God. Verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. Here's the word again. But strong meat belong to them that are of full age, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Milk is for the beginning stages of the faith. Meat is for the developing stage. And no one grows on milk alone. Here there's a logical inference made by the writer from the illustration of babies who can only drink milk. Just as infants cannot discern right and wrong, immature people can't discern right from wrong, both doctrinally and duty. If you know anything about a baby, is that a baby will put anything in its mouth. Some of those things that they put in their mouth may be harmful. You see this at times. They have no discernment. A spiritual, immature person will listen to any preacher. He would listen and entertain any teacher and can't discern who is wrong in theology or who is correct and worth listening to. Are you like that? I don't know. I'm asking, are you like that? Not only will the spiritually immature lack discernment in doctrine, not knowing good from evil, but they will not discern good from evil when it comes to believers' duty. There would always be a war between the spiritually mature and the immature. Shouldn't be that way. God doesn't want his people to be ignorant. Paul often says to us, do not be ignorant. To be unskillful in the word of righteousness is a statement that means that one is unskillful in the gospel message. The word of righteousness is the gospel, for we are told in Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 10, these words, listen to them. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh he on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Here in this text, the Apostle Paul clearly states that the word of righteousness is the gospel. He also calls the gospel the word of faith, which we preach. Thus, to be unskillful in the word of righteousness is a lack of ability to comprehend the gospel. We don't want to be there. There's too much information given from the Bible that ought to cause us to grow. There's too much information given from the pulpit that ought to cause us to move from the state of spiritual immaturity. Spiritual immaturity leaves a question mark whether one has encountered the new birth. Therefore, it can be dangerous to remain in such a state of spiritual immaturity. You may remember the Apostle Peter admonishes us to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. It's only when one is dead that they have ceased to grow. The Good Shepherd, dear brethren, give Christians some good assurance, and we should be thankful for this good assurance. In John 10, he says that when he puts forth his own sheep, he goeth before them or ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You want to know how mature you are? Whose voice are you hearing and following? You want to know how strong you are as a Christian? Whose voice are you entertaining? The image here in John chapter 10 is very simple. The one who is a sheep follow their shepherd. They will discern the voice of a stranger. Not only will they discern the stranger's voice, they will flee. They will actively flee. They have zero tolerance for a strange message. These are but signs that I've shared with you. Three signs we're able to formulate out of the context where the writer is proving what he meant when he states in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to explain, seeing that you are slow to learn. You see, the proof of this statement is based on the three points I have made, namely, dull of hearing, a maintaining of limited diet, and unskillful to discern good and evil, both doctrinally and duty. But God doesn't want us to be this way. God doesn't want his people to be this way, because spiritual immaturity will ultimately result in a very serious peril. And I'll share it why with you. I like what New Testament commentator William Hendrickson said in reference to these verses. And he says this, and I quote, "We should guard against being critical of the original recipients of the epistle, for we ourselves," and the man include himself, "for we ourselves show the same characteristics. We who have heard the gospel proclaimed numerous years, many of us since childhood, often do not demonstrate spiritual discernment. Although we have God's revelation in the Old Testament and the New Testament, remain slow learners." End of quote. There are some perils that we risk and are risking being in this state of spiritual immaturity. And we will call only three of them that have become obvious in our day. One will be easily tossed to and fro if they're spiritually immature. Easily tossed to and fro. A person who is immature will be easily led away, not only by religious institutions floating around us, but by individuals who come in to the church, whose ambition is to mislead and misdirect our focus. Many have become like the proverbial rolling stone that gathers no moss. But you must remember, a rolling stone gathers nothing else either. Most of the cults today punks down on those who are marginal or casually committed to the gospel. You and I should know what we believe and why we believe. There's some who's 1 minute there in this church and the next minute they're in the next church. And the denomination doesn't matter. That's a sign of spiritual immaturity. Easily tossed. The Bible says that he that have no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Proverbs 25:28. You know what is a city with broken down walls? All the foxes going. James instructs us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and abridgeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. James likens the wave like the wavering soul, the wave that is out of control. Doctrine is taught that one may not be tossed to and fro. Now listen, doctrine doesn't save a person, but at least the teachings of Scripture enlightens a person. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And who are the simple? The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. We also have the passage in Ephesians that tells us why God has given pastors and teachers to his church. He gives some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. And then he gives the purpose for the perfecting, for the completion, for the development of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How long? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then he tells you why. That we from now on be no more children. Here's the word again. Babes, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight or craftiness of men in cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see the institution of the church. I'm talking about the church now. I made a reference last time that a church that doesn't preach the gospel, the whole counsel of God, is a club. And I mean what I say. You can join any club. But one of the reasons God has given the institution of the church is to profit the souls of men. Anytime you find professing believers bouncing from pillar to post, it may not be because of a lack of faithful preaching and teaching, but it may be a sign of spiritual immaturity. There is no perfect church, because the moment you go into it, you make it imperfect, or me. There's no perfect church because they are occupied with people like me and you. In fact, all some are doing is transferring their immaturity to wherever they go. And that's why people can't get a record. And we accept records, and we accept recommendations from churches when people seek to join the church. Today you get them a dime a dozen. I don't know what they're called. One grave peril that you and I face if you are in a state of spiritual immaturity is that you will be easily tossed to and fro. Chaff that the wind drives away. And that's not very good. Double-minded in all ways. And James puts it in the right perspective. Secondly, one of the other perils that men risk by spiritually immature is that there are targets for false teachers. Not only are we tossed to and fro, we are targets. I always find that there are a group of people who come and stand in front of our church with those little magazines like this. And when they come, it says, look, move down, move down, move down. We preach the gospel here. Move over to the next wall. Yes, I say that. Move over to the next wall. Lest people come and think that this is what I'm all about. No, I'm not all about awake. Yes, I'm all about awake. But the resurrection awake. Targets. Jesus taught this principle: all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Friend, if you are a Christian, you should not debate with false teachers who appear in sheep's clothing. Don't try to convert them. They will convert you. The spiritual immature will not tell a thief from a shepherd, but will be a prime target for the religious cults and teachers, and sooner or later, you'll see them. John warns, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Many had the idea that they could convert those who are in serious error. I'm going to convert my old boyfriend or my old girlfriend. I'm going to go back. And at the end of the day, it was the false teacher or the unconverted person that converted them. They were targets because of immaturity. So this is the devil's ploy. Targeted the smooth talkers who promises liberty, who promises success. Targets. God doesn't want you, friend, to be spiritually immature. He wants us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of his Son, the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, we not only see that they will be targets, they will be easily tossed. But thirdly, such ones will never be thorough in repentance. Spiritual immature people will never be thorough in repentance. They'll ride the fence. And we have some right here like that, not thorough in repentance, not thorough in commitment. Oh, dear people, when one is spiritually immature, they will never be thorough in their repentance because they know not what to repent from. The prophet Isaiah faulted those who call good evil and evil good, and that was Judah. Oh, yes, They were not thorough in repentance. You remember that message? Ephraim is like a cake not turned. Burnt or crisp on the outside, but inside never turned. You ever had a cake like that? Burnt or crisp on the outside. The heat of the gospel burns some people to a crisp, but never converts them. Never thorough in repentance. Oh yes, dear friend. God doesn't want his people to be in this. In the apostolic age, Paul met 12. 12 men in Acts 19. 12 Ephesians. They never heard of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, because they only had a partial gospel message, the side that John brought. Paul met them and said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" They said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost." Paul said unto them, "Unto what then do you believe?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." And Paul said, "John truly baptized the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him." That is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Spiritually immature people will never be thorough in repentance or in the gospel message. The 12 Ephesians were not thorough in repentance because they had a partial gospel message. God saved them after they met the Apostle Paul, who said that men are not necessary in the spirit of God's ministry. When Paul touched them and spoke to them, they understood what believers' baptism was and what repentance really was. There are many yet sitting under the gospel and never heard the word repentance. And there are others who are troubled by such a word. What should I repent of? They're spiritually immature. Therefore, in this appendix that we have covered, remember it is an insertion that the apostle just shifts from his doctrine. And then he acknowledges his listeners in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 4. And we should be thankful for this and these three symptoms of spiritual immaturity. In this appendix, the writer shifts from instruction of doctrine to slowness of understanding. It is our prayer that the head of the church, Jesus, will grant us a measure of grace so that we would not be like those dull of hearing, slow, fast about everything else, but slow. You know, I often remember I came out of a very sinful situation. And I can remember up to this day, if I hear the wrong song, music, it puts me right back over there where I was. It is hard to remember the spiritual message. It is so quick to hold the vice. But let us grow in grace. Brother, let's go into God's word prayerfully. Let's listen closely. Let's examine to see those things are so. Who say you are right? God doesn't want us to be slow. And we pray that God will grant a measure of grace and wisdom, that we would not be dull of hearing, that we would not remain on a liquid diet. It's a bad sign if you're giving a 30-year-old milk in a bottle. It's a very bad sign. We pray that those of us hearing the gospel will not be as those limited like that. Have no teeth. Have no teeth to chew the meat of the word. And if your son is 11 years old and still have those little bitty teeth pushing out there, you would say, spiritually immature. I pray that we will not be as those who cannot discern good from evil. Don't you know that your body is the temple of God? Don't you know that? Don't you know where you carry your body is important? Spiritually immature, friend, is very dangerous. And spiritual immaturity doesn't necessarily mean saved. Let me clear up this right now. Don't go away saying, well, I'm saved when I'm spiritually immature. No, 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 no. Children grow. And they grow in the likeness of Papa. So don't go away saying, well, hey, he's giving me a little comfort. I mean, I'm spiritually immature, but I'm... No, you're not all right. But we're not mentally challenged here. We're spiritually challenged. We can grow. And growth starts at birth. And the reason why there's no growth is because there may not be any birth. I pray that we all, including myself, would be given strength to grow. Only then will we not be tossed to and fro. Only then will we not be targets of the false teachers. Only then will we be thorough. Repentance. Let's pray. Oh God in heaven, what an age we live in. So much information. So much information on the social media. And so little illumination and application. We pray that we here will be people who are able to take others and direct them to the cross, that Jesus, the Son of God, may be glorified. In Jesus' name.